Nice. Hero 4 coming out on your phone.
That's it.
Beautiful.
They got a new one in January, supposedly, that's going to have a phone chip in it, and you can broadcast from it.
Nice.
Like
straight from
Facebook.
It.
Yeah, a YouTube or something. Yeah.
So, mic about here will be just about right?
That looks good, yeah.
Yeah, about right. Good, yeah. Just there? Okay.
Test, test,
and obviously
test,
talking
test.
To you both.
Yep.
Okay. All right, are we centered there? Oh, look, we're perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
All right.
God, we're a team.
Yeah.
All right.
Good?
Really? I tell people not to call me. The phone's going off. All right. I'm verifying camera, verifying sound. Welcome to Security Guy Radio with Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
I'm Darren Rolls.
And what company with?
SailPoint Technologies.
Sail, S-A-I-L?
As in sailboat, yeah.
Okay,
there
good.
Go.
Good. I like to spell for my nieces and nephews.
There you go.
Spelling's really bad.
Tell us about your company.
So SailPoint, we are the market leader in identity and access governance.
Oh, really? All right.
And that is the space that used to be user provisioning.
Okay.
That has now sort of changed and grown to be a much broader thing about truly understanding who has access to what.
Wow.
Put your microphone a little bit like this.
Oh, bit here. Is that better?
Tilt it.
Just
there
like
you
that.
Go. Perfect.
There you go. You see, I've not done this before.
All right. So tell us, if you're the leader in this, tell us why.
Yeah, I think the space that we're in, identity and access management, has very much evolved, as I say, from being operational provisioning, creating accounts for people, to being one of providing governance. And we really helped define that. Myself and a large number of the team have been in this space for the last 15-odd years.
Oh, wow.
As a team, we were part of the group that created the Waveset product, which was the Sun Identity Manager, which was one of those first-generation operational provisioning tools. And one of the things that we learned at that time is just giving people access isn't enough. You really have to have people in the line of business own the entitlement, own responsibility.
Absolutely.
For what it means to have
access. And
an
you can't do that without governance, without adoption, without buy-in. And I think from my experience, we've seen a lot of organizations kind of fail in that regard. And so it's funny,
absolutely,
you mentioned it, governance is a big part of the successful implementation, if you will, right?
Yeah, agreed. I mean, at the end of the day, security has to be understood by and owned by the business, right? People in the line of business that understand what it means to do a transaction, what it means to give somebody access to something. And so a lot of what we helped pioneer was this idea of, you know, taking complex security entitlement and making it business relevant, business meaning. So things like having an entitlement catalog, having somewhere that someone in the business can go to and they can look up a privilege and get a business-friendly name for it, see who owns it, see what it means to have it, find out a risk score for somebody that has that entitlement, and kind of put all this complex security stuff into terms that people can understand.
Now, you talk about next gen, and this is the next wave of evolution. Are there any integrated security capabilities in your product now that are addressing, let's say, access for particular employees that you want to track their behavior, so that behavior to help with the risk identification?
Yeah, good question. There certainly are. We very much now say that identity is at the center of security. And as we'll talk now about the perimeterless network, and very much what we mean by that is it's no longer relevant where somebody comes from. And so what we have to understand is who you are, what you should have access to, and what you do have access to, and what you're doing with it. And so we very much, as part of being at the center of that model, means integration. And so we have a lot of ability to pass the context that we uniquely understand and manage. So who you are, who you work for, what you do as a role, what entitlements you have, to share that with the security infrastructure.
Now,
so that
when I was back at Fox, we introduced some of the first access control systems.
Right.
Where people had to show ID at the gate, then show ID at a building.
Yep.
And my biggest challenge was the permissions.
Yep.
And we had to do it all by hand. Yep. I had 125 doors, and I had to decide which doors you could go in.
Wow.
And I had to go in and flip switches. Okay,
yep.
One, no, five, two, five.
Wow.
Terribly time-consuming problem.
Exactly.
However, when we got it right, that place was tight.
You
couldn't go. And then if you tried to get into a door that was not allowed, I got an alert and said, hey, Charisse, what are you
what
doing?
Are you
what are you going in there for, right?
Right.
So this is an access control analogy to me.
It is.
Right? And what I never understood is how we got away from it in the first place, right? Because the desktop guy comes and says, there's your password. Strong passwords. I never thought about a strong password.
Right.
And why has it gone away from a corporate IT department's responsibility to do that and to a third-party vendor? I'm glad it is, because you got a better solution, but here's guys that are in charge of our networks in our major corporations who just didn't get it right. It's weird to me.
Well, what we're really doing is fundamentally creating a delegated administration environment.
Yeah.
These tools are still owned by IT, if you like, or deployed by IT.
So it's an internal platform.
Right. But let's just take, for example, an Active Directory group. Right. We all know these things. We have hundreds of thousands of them sometimes. Mm-hmm. All we're really doing is taking that out of the IT infrastructure and creating a management abstraction for it and giving it to the person that owns the things that it gives access to.
Okay, so the department manager can interface with
absolutely.
It. It doesn't have to be the IT guy.
Exactly.
All right, that's
the idea. And that's where it should be, right? Because
They're
the people that go to jail when things are done wrong.
Exactly.
It's their asset that's being... So in effect, what we're doing, to take your analogy, is we're allowing the guy behind the door to have a very seamless, easy-to-use web environment where they can take that responsibility about who comes in and out of their door.
And he's managing it in his area of responsibility.
Exactly.
And not having somebody else do that for you, which can be incorrect and permissions are screwed up and stuff. Yeah.
And then what we're also then doing, once we have those managed things, doing the dream of really birthright access and role-based access control, what we were really trying to gain there was to get the right people the right access when they need it, right? And so once you have a nicely defined environment where these, you can compose roles, a basic user, an extended user, a secure individual, and you can sort of collapse these privileges together into things that can then be assigned en masse. And then, of course, governance also means reporting, oversight, visibility, analytics. And so we provide all of that so as that you know, if you're in the security tier, you can pick a person and see what they have access. You can pick a piece of access and see who has it, right?
Yeah.
And that's really the dream of
security. So let's say you go into a big company and you look at their... Oh, look at that. We lost our camera. Hold on one second. We're going to cut and load back up.
Pause.
Excellent.
I'm not going to move.
No. It's very thirsty.
Your stick's full.
Well, they told me I had 50 minutes left on the chip, but I guess I didn't have 50 minutes.
Roll?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No worries, me. You got to cut it.
We're on roll 4 now?
Yes.
Is this the right level of detail and conversation
absolutely.
You wanted?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we've had every variation of chief scientist, CTO, chief marketing, and just whatever is your
favorite.
Right.
Yeah. And then your process from here is to just kind of go back and see what you like and use what you like and don't what you don't.
Yeah, no, so Chuck will create and splice your segment if you're
on your own. Oh, okay.
Oh, cool. Whatever. They'll create a mini docu series of maybe like 5 or 6 shows.
Mm-hmm.
He has a Monday night show.
That's right. I've seen it.
You see my show?
Sure have.
Oh, excellent.
I'm a big fan of, take the media with you kind of thing. You know, everyone's on their phone somewhere, right? So I'm always looking for something interesting to watch and read and follow. Yep, exactly. Exactly. It's great for it.
And I'm just keeping the audio going, too, so... Oh, we gotta start the camera though. Push the start. All right, beautiful. There we go. All right. Got it. I had a great question that I forgot, but I'm gonna remember in a second. All right, so where do we stop?
Carl, that's a tough question.
I know. I just always tell people remember what it was.
We were talking about entitlement, giving it to the line of business.
Letting
people...
Oh, I know my question was. Yeah. Okay. I got a question, and I got to phrase this properly. When you come into a company and you look at their infrastructure, how it's set up, and you go, boy, these guys got a problem. It's all messed up. Can you then quantify how effective your solution is? Do you go from 100 screw ups to none?
Right.
In other words, is there a way to measure that? How effective
most certainly.
This is?
I think, again, come back to that taking a governance-based approach. It's very much about visibility. I mean, I fundamentally believe myself, you can't manage what you can't see, what you can't understand.
Right.
Right? And so the first phase in a governance project is to collect everything together to create a big old kind of repository of this access so as that you can mill your way through it, look through it, see what there is. And that is something that's very, very easy and fast to do. Big value for the business in itself. So that tends to be a phase one on a lot of projects, is to aggregate the data, build relationships. We have a thing we call an identity cube. And an identity cube is a representation of me as a human being and all of my access.
Oh.
And so we say you kind of spin the cube. So you would be on my identity page, and that shows you who I am, who I work for, what my capabilities are. And then I can flip it and see the systems and access that I have, all the accounts that I have. People always have multiple accounts, right, both in the cloud and on-prem. And then to be able to keep sort of twisting that cube and looking at different facets of the data. And so that's something that, is usually a phase one and creates great value and then helps us say, gee, we need to focus here. Because here's a whole bunch of, orphan accounts, classic thing. Look at the average forensic report. Orphan accounts are usually somewhere, an account not owned by anybody infrastructure.
We had that with access control records, ironically. Exactly. An ID that has been used in 6 months. And all of a sudden, somebody uses it, but the guy's been fired for 8 months, right? Or,
so can help with that.
Can you give us statistics? In other words, if I was in charge of all IT, people would hate me, because I'd say your phone has to have 4-way authentication to turn it on, and so nobody would sell phones because I wouldn't, But would we not have problems? Seriously.
Yeah.
So will we drop our problems from this many to zero if everybody that used your software did what they're supposed to do? Would it go down that exponentially?
We very much take a risk-based approach, right, as everybody does these days, right? And one of the things that an approach like ours will help you do is understand where to focus first, right? We've all got limited resources, right? We're all trying to achieve, we're all under attack. And so it very much helps us go where that need is. And that may be where the privileges are the highest and the understanding of the people and the processes is the lowest.
And it also helps reduce the attack surface by limiting the access. For example, ransomware coming into an organization, hitting a specific user. And if that user is locked down, correct me if I'm wrong, it impedes the ability to spread and et cetera.
Yeah, that's certainly a part of it.
So every organization may have a different problem. It may be that it's the high-level guys that are screwed up because they give their secretary the passwords. We had people at the studios that had 5 secretaries, one executive. And do you think they're using 5 passwords all the time? Probably not, right? So it just depends, I guess, in the organization what their access and permission levels
and
are.
And their threats. Everyone has the insider threat. This solution helps mitigate that risk in locking down their ability to access areas of the organization that they shouldn't.
Do you have any intellectual property clients, like studios or things like that?
Yeah, we do. We're pretty much generic across most industries. A lot of what we do kind of started in financial services, where separation of duty is a very, very important, understanding complex entitlement. But now it's spread out pretty much everywhere.
Because intellectual property is kind of like cash.
Oh, yeah.
If you steal my movie and put it on a disc and sell it in an alley for a dollar, just lost $1 billion, right?
It happened to certain vendors, right?
Yeah, it does. And then, I'm thinking with this kind of solution, I can lock down that particular editing machine. So instead of 5 people walking in and out and editing and stealing my Star Wars movie, it's only got permissions for this one guy if somebody else tries to do it.
Yeah, and the more interesting thing is how complex is it to lock that down? And then how do you manage it afterwards?
Yeah,
right?
Because you have editors coming in from all over the place. It could be a day higher, right? And now he doesn't have permission and stuff,
Yep. And so, when a new guy turns up, how does he get access to that editing suite, that piece of electronic
software? Since it's local, and so let's say this is my editing bay, and I got 5 editors that work in here, and I'm in charge of it, and a new daily hire comes in from the shop, and I can plug Charisse in right away and give permission.
Absolutely.
Because I don't have to call IT and put a ticket in and wait a week for my ticket to be answered. Yeah, excellent.
Right. That's the idea. So we're going to give you, as the owner of that, you understand what it means to have the suite. You understand who should have access. You're responsible for it. You're going to be in trouble if it's misused. So you're in control.
How do you guard against internal misuse? In other words, I have permission and I'm screwing around on the system.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, you've probably heard a lot at the event this week about user behavior. User behavior analytics and understanding. We're a strategic part of that in lots of ways because for us to understand whether the right user is behaving badly, you have to know a norm, right?
It has to learn.
Exactly. Yeah. And not only that, I have to know that the privileges that you have are appropriate for your role, appropriate for your position within the company and what you're responsible for. And we're like the administration engine for all of that as well. We also do a lot around files. Unstructured data is a big issue these
days. Oh, we talked about that, yeah.
I mean, if you look at what the bad guys run off with, they usually go to an internal share that's poorly managed where no one knows what's on it. They zip it all up and run away.
Yeah.
You know, we help put controls in place to understand file categorization and classification, and then to understand who should have access to those files and set alerts when the wrong people are reading what are the wrong files.
That other company we talked to encrypts their solutions, encrypting that unclassified data. So putting these two things together, you're locked down.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fabulous. Darren, thanks for coming on Security Guard.
Absolutely.
This has been great. Give us the website again.
Sorry?
Your website again.
Yeah, so SailPoint.com.
S-A-I-L.
S-A-I-L-P-O-I-N-T.com.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And coming to see us for 60 Minutes.
I will.
Right.
Thank
thanks.
You.
Thank you.